Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Transformation Zone. I'm happy to have you again this Thursday. I'm your host, Velton Shawell, and we have a show for you today that I really think you're going to enjoy. I don't know if I've mentioned it previously, but in this year, 2016, has been an interesting year as it's started and continues to be an interesting year as we move ahead. One of the things that I'm really excited about this year is I have the opportunity to write a new book. And the new book that I'm writing is called Leadership 52. And the premise behind Leadership 52 are 52 tips that every leader can use to promote an environment for success. Now, I know in our business, we have a lot of people who listen to this show that are either entrepreneurs or corporate executives or managers in their own right. And we try to give you value for the time that you spend with us, tips and strategies that you can utilize to improve your business's performance, to increase your company's income, and really to be a differentiating force in the marketplace. So we want to talk a little bit tonight about a topic that's kind of near and dear to my heart. It's called empowerment. And, you know, empowerment is one of those things that everybody talks about, the fact that you are empowered or we give you the ability to do a certain amount and we expect certain, we have certain expectations of your performance. So what I did in preparation for this, I just read from the dictionary.com, and I went and I wanted to know, what do they say about empowerment? Let me share with you what dictionary.com says about empowerment. Empowerment is a management practice of sharing information, rewards, and power with employees so they can take the initiative and make decisions to solve problems and improve service and performance. Empowerment is based on the idea that giving employees skills, resources, authority, opportunity, motivation, as well as holding them responsible and accountable for outcomes of their actions will contribute to their competence and satisfaction. Wow, that's a mouthful. But we're going to talk a little bit about that today, and we're going to break it down and try to simplify it so that it becomes more of a practice and a skill that people aren't afraid of. What do I mean by that? You know, 2008 was an incredible year because the market crashed, the banks crashed, everything went pretty much to hell in the handbasket as financially for the entire country and for that matter for the world. And prior to that, in the 80s and 90s, this word empowerment was reigning as a dominating force in the marketplace. Everybody was spending millions of dollars on teaching and training their employees in strategies, techniques, and tactics that would allow them to be better at handling issues, handling customer complaints, handling customer opportunities, and just doing things that would minimize the need to bubble things up to the next level. Unfortunately, when you do those types of things, you have to, if you don't have the trust in your employees, if you have not trained them properly, or if you have huge turnover in your ranks, it has a dampening effect on management's willingness to give the employees in that arena the latitude that's necessary for them to operate and be empowered. Well, what does that mean? Think about it like this. If you have employees in your operation that have been with you for a while, that you have spent the time and money to train, and really take care of their knowledge base, you're more comfortable in giving them the latitude to make those types of decisions. But everybody's been cutting back and cutting things, primarily employees. You know, when the market dips, there are a couple of things that companies cut back on first. First is travel and entertainment. Travel and entertainment, when companies start to feel the crunch of a financial situation, they will cut back on training their employees, and they will cut back on travel and entertainment. They won't travel unless it's just necessary. It really has to be necessary for somebody to get on a plane and fly from one coast to the other, because there's just no money in the budget for it. Things are being tightened down. If it's not a big customer, if it's not a big deal, we instead of taking them to a 5-star restaurant, maybe we take them to a 3-star restaurant. Instead of spending as much money on food and wine as we would have in the past, we cut back. We don't have a bottle of wine. Maybe we have a glass of wine or two with the customer. You know, there are different ways and different things that we utilize to help us cut back on that issue and that area, which is travel and entertainment. And as I mentioned earlier, training becomes the next area that's attacked. Companies cut back on their training. They don't find the value in spending those training dollars to take care of the employees that are there. Now, I saw something I was reading a couple of weeks ago, and I posted in social media a couple of times. It was a CEO and a CFO having a conversation. And the CEO was looking at the training agenda for the company for the upcoming year, and he had the financial figures. And the CFO looked at him and said, "We can't afford to spend all of this money on our employees and our managerial staff, because we could spend all this money and they could leave tomorrow. Then where would we be? What if we spent this money and they leave?" The CEO looked up at the CFO and he says, "What if we don't spend the money on training and they stay?" That's a problem. That's an issue. And in an environment like that, you can't empower people. You can't empower people in an environment that has tremendous turnover, and you can't empower people in an environment that is stagnant, where you're not investing in them. You're not helping them, teaching them, training them to do the things that you need to do, or that they need to do in their position to be outstanding. We end up hurting ourselves because we're not willing to invest in our employees. But let's talk about empowerment a little bit more. How do we train employees to handle complaints? Training employees to handle complaints is not an easy thing. Why? Because some of the things that make us strong as a company or as a country have an impact on us in a negative standpoint. What do I mean by that? We're all from different parts of the country. We're all from different parts of the world. We bring our attitudes, our understanding, and our folk ways and mores from the areas that we come from. So what we deem as customer service or empowerment has a direct correlation with where we grew up, how we grew up, and the surroundings that we've encountered. In a corporate culture, we have to then bring all of these different people from different walks of life together and set the standard for what it is we're looking for from them, how we expect them to clients and their fellow employees. I don't want to pick on any one particular part of the world, but in certain parts of the world, when a customer presents a problem to an employee, they are conditioned first and foremost to tell the customer why it's not their personal fault. They're not the problem. It's not me. You have to understand I didn't do that. Well, when you're resolving a customer issue, the last thing that the customer wants to hear is whose fault you may think it is, or you pointing the finger at someone else to clear you from that. And in an environment of empowerment, what that employee should have done or should do is to, number one, listen. And these are the keys to a proper empowerment situation. Number one, you listen. Number two, you empathize. Number three, you look for areas that you can bring resolution or resolve to the issue. Offer the customer some kind of resolution to their problem. And number four, repeat back to them the issue or the problem and your solution. Number five, ask if that is acceptable. So there are four or five steps to empowerment. Number one, you listen. Number two, you empathize. Number three, you offer a resolution or solution to the problem. Number four, you repeat the problem and the solution. And number five, you ask, is that acceptable to you? If your employees are trained properly in an empowerment and an environment of empowerment, they understand those five steps and they can go through those five steps with you. But it's something that they have to be trained to do because it's not a natural thing. Nobody wants to be accused of being the root of the problem or the reason for the problem. Many times I've been on the phone calling a customer service line, letting them know that I'm either dissatisfied or I have a problem, and the first thing that I get is, "Well, sir, I understand it's your problem, but it's not me. It's our engineering department. It's our sales department. It's our operations department, and I don't really have any control over what they do." That immediately says to me that this employee is not empowered to do anything for me. The second thing that usually comes up is not only are they not able to do anything, but they want to tell me what their policy is. They want to quote back to me their corporate policy because they don't have the ability to make a decision. They have to stick to those guidelines to the nth degree. I said 2008 changed things. Prior to 2008, we encouraged our employees to look within our guidelines for solutions, not to quote our corporate policy to the customer, but to look for solutions or areas of opportunity that we could flex, even if it meant that we had to give away something. Because here's what we were looking to do in the 80s and the 90s. We were looking for long-term relationships with our customers. We were looking to reinforce our ability to retain that customer because we understood something that I think we've actually forgotten. As a sales guy, I can tell you it's five times more expensive to find a new customer than it is to retain an existing customer. You know, it's funny. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and they said to me, you know, I've been a customer of AT&T for many, many years, and they've had my cell phone business, but I'm about to leave. And I said, why is that? He said, I called them, and I said, I've been a customer of AT&T now for 9 years. And the person on the other end of the line said, well, we appreciate your business. And my friend said, well, I don't think you really do. And the response was, well, why do you say that, sir? He said, because you're now offering a promotion for new customers that gives them a rate that is half of what I'm paying you as a 9-year existing customer. The response from the AT&T rep is what sent my friend into a frenzy. The first words out of the person's mouth from AT&T says, sir, I understand your displeasure with the problem. However, or we like to use the word but, that promotion is only for new customers. It does not, it's not available for our existing customers. Well, my friend said, well, I've been a loyal customer for 9 years. What do you have for me? I'm not feeling the love. And the response was, sir, I understand that you may be upset. Repeated it again. However, we're not offering anything for our existing customers. We're only offering that promotion for new customers. So my friend is very upset, which I think you would be too. And he says, well, I want to talk to a supervisor. Here's where empowerment has a hiccup. The response from the representative was, well, they're going to tell you the same thing that I just told you. When my friend said that to me, I just sat and I closed my eyes and I said, really? Are you serious? And he said, yeah. He's going to tell you the same thing that I'm going to tell you. So my friend then asked to speak to that supervisor anyway. So instead of the employee being empowered now, going to that supervisor puts my friend on hold, transfers him to a new department where the phone rings and rings and rings and rings. And finally, a supervisor picks up the phone and says their name, how may I help you? And my friend, is, by this time, his voice is raised and you can see the consternation in his face. He said, would you believe that the employee who had me on the phone and talked to me for upwards of 10 minutes about this situation transferred me to the supervisor. The supervisor who let the phone ring until he came to me didn't review any of the notes, or the notes didn't exist in the computer, and they had the audacity to ask me how could they help me, and took me through the entire scenario from the beginning to the end. I had to repeat the entire conversation that I had just had 10 minutes of conversation with their subordinate. And I sat there and I wanted to chuckle, but I knew my friend would be very, very upset if I chuckled. And I looked at him and I said, so what did you do? He said, I repeated it to the manager or the supervisor, and the supervisor did just what the employee did. He quoted me the company policy. He told me there was nothing that he could do for me. He told me that he was very sorry that I felt the way I felt. And he felt that he wanted me to know I was a valued customer of the company. Now, as I said before, I didn't want to put AT&T on the hot seat because this is not something that's unique to them. This is something that we all encounter with all of the companies that we do business with in this new environment. We have lost the initiative to empower our employees to save our customers from having problems. Or if they bring a problem to us, we don't have the ability, or our employees don't have the ability to fix it. Our employees are afraid because in 2008, because everything was so bad, we wanted to stop the bleeding. We wanted to cut all costs. We don't want to expend any money for anything other than the bare minimum and what's totally necessary. So our employees, the empowerment that they felt was taken away. And here we are in 2016. We have not given it back in 8 years. We have gone the other direction. We are so tight on our employees that they don't have the ability to take care of our customers. They don't have the ability to make decisions. And when you're in a situation like that, your employees begin to lose their enthusiasm. You know, Richard Branson has a saying, and he says, it's not about your, you know, business is not about taking care of your customers. Business is about taking care of your employees. And if you take care of your employees, they will take care of your customers. And Virgin Atlantic has a reputation worldwide of being a company on the cutting edge because it, like some other companies like Southwest, has empowered its employees to take care of the customer because they take care of their employees. Southwest Airlines, the employees own a heavy percentage of the company. So they're not looking at it as working for someone. They're running a business. They're running their business because they have a vested interest in taking care of the customer, and they have a vested interest in the bottom line of the company. Novel idea, novel concept, isn't it? Not only are they vested because they get a paycheck, but they own part of the company, and the corporate executives in the company also take care of them. So they feel a part of the team. They feel a part of the family. They feel that I am inviting the customer into my home because I own this. I'm a part of it. That is empowerment at its finest level. Now, when I say empowerment and at its finest level, every employee can't handle every problem from start to finish. There has to be at some point a turnover process depending on the magnitude of the problem. But our employees should feel confident in taking it from the inception to that point, and that they will not feel any ramifications or repercussions if they make a decision to take care of the customer that may be a little bit off key. They should not feel that their job is threatened because they've made a little bit of a decision that took care of a customer that may be a little bit off-center. It's business, guys. It's what we do. Now, if they give away the ranch, I can understand that they're going to be reprimanded, and some people just don't think. But that's where the training comes in. We've got to take these people by the hand. We've got to teach them. They spend more time at work than they spend anywhere else. How are we investing in them? How are we in putting ourselves in a position of strength because of the investment that we put in them? Are we better off because of it, or are we not? You know, there's an award that I've talked about when I've traveled and spoken in front of large audiences. It's given for service excellence. It's called the Malcolm Baldrige Award. And I came out of the hospitality industry. For those of you who listen to the radio all the time, you know that. But those of you who are maybe tuning in for the first time, I worked in the hospitality industry for 27 years. And there's only one company in the history of the Malcolm Baldrige Award from the hospitality industry to ever win that award. And that award was won by a company called Ritz-Carlton. And Ritz-Carlton is the epitome of a service company that has taken empowerment to another level. Their employees are empowered to do whatever it takes to ensure the ultimate in satisfaction of their guests. To the point where their mantra tells the employees how appreciated they are. Their mantra says, we are ladies and gentlemen, serving ladies and gentlemen. Wow. We are ladies and gentlemen, serving ladies and gentlemen. If you're a company executive, if you're a CEO, if you're a middle manager, if you are someone who supervises people who handle your customers, I implore you, think of that mantra every time you have an opportunity to interact with a customer, or your employees have the opportunity to interact with a customer, or if you have an employee who's having a bad day, look them in the eye and remind them that we are ladies and gentlemen performing services for ladies and gentlemen. We are all to be held in a very high regard. We are all to put our best foot forward. We're all to operate and do everything in our power to be the best that they can be or that we can be. You as a leader have to empower through giving your employees the confidence that whatever decision they make, be it the right decision or the wrong decision, it's not a terminal offense. It's something that can be fixed. There are terminal offenses, I don't want to get you wrong, but they are the exception, they're not the rule. In most instances, nobody gets up in the morning and comes to work who wants to do a bad job. Everybody wants to do a good job. Take away the fear. Create an environment where people want to excel. Create an environment that people feel comfortable making decisions in the best interest of everybody involved. Create an environment that you walk around looking for that outstanding employee doing something outstanding and make a big issue of it. Take the time to take your least successful or your least skilled employee and find them doing something good. May not be the best thing, but something good, and make a big deal of it. If you've got someone who just can't perform at the level of everybody else and you give them some recognition, I can guarantee you they're going to try harder. Think about a sports team. When you have a player who doesn't have the skill set of everybody else, but he or she does something outstanding and the coach just makes a big deal of it, that person comes back and tries 100 times harder the next time because they want that same recognition. Your employees are the same way. To empower our employees, we have to transform our thinking, and I can guarantee it will transform your world. Thanks again for spending the last 30 minutes with me. I wish you the best. I look forward to you returning next week. Take care and God bless. Good night.